Hello and welcome back to the Archaeology News Weekly. I do apologise for last week. You won't believe this. Well, hopefully you will, but I actually sat down, edited the whole text that they had sent to me, and believe it or not, my microphone broke. So there I am, sitting out in the middle of nowhere, and no microphone. So I do apologise for no news last week. I hope this news more than makes up for it. This news, of course, is brought to you in partnership between Stone Pages and the British Archaeological Jobs and Resources website. All the stories have been collected from various sources, and therefore to view details on each story, including the source, please see the Stone Pages website at news.stonepages.com. Now, the main headlines from around the world this week are as follows. An ancient warrior skeleton is found in a cave near Rome. And we report on a new study into the hidden history of Pendle Hill in Lancashire. A Welsh hill fort comes to life in a children's mosaic. And beneath the waves, we continue the search for prehistoric settlements off the coast of Florida. A 5,000-year-old prehistoric site is discovered in Northern Ireland. And we gain a fascinating insight into care in the past as the remains of an ancient paraplegic are found in Vietnam. In Scotland, the Caithness Broch Centre has been opened, while off the Dutch coast a fisherman nets a 40,000-year-old human bone. A prehistoric hut gives clues to ancient alpine life in Switzerland, and research is showing that human populations expanded during the late Stone Age in Africa. Findings of the Hillfort project are unveiled in Buckinghamshire in England, and we have the heartwarming story of the week with a 3,000-year-old axe head found by an 8-year-old girl in Maryland. An amazing new device is tracing archaeological finds on site and in real time, and we end with news on digging archaeology along a pipeline in Nebraska. Italy's police squad for art say an ancient warrior skeleton has been found in a tomb filled with seawater on a beach near Rome. The bones are believed to date from between 2000 BCE and 3000 BCE. Carabinieri art squad official Raffaele Mancino said that the warrior was likely killed by an arrow that was found amongst his ribs. There was also a hole in the back of his skull. The warrior, nicknamed Nello after the archaeologist who found him in May as they were making routine checks of the region's archaeological area, said that the bones were found along with 6 vases and 2 daggers. Mancino says the tomb could be part of a wider necropolis lying just a few steps from the sea. The tomb, hidden in bushes on a public beach, is about 65 kilometres south of Rome and was excavated in less than a day to preserve it from further seawater erosion. Part of it had, of course, already been damaged, and I think we're trying to keep the actual location safe from Tombarole, or the tomb robbers. Interested in looters? Well, you'll also be interested in what's coming up in the next Past Horizons magazine, where we look at the ancient city up in the northwest of Bulgaria, which is being severely hit by looters. If you get along to that, I think it's coming out around about the 15th of August, then you'll actually be able to see what's going on there and perhaps lend a hand as well to stop it. Anyway, back to the news. The history of Pendle Hill in Lancashire, England, is to be pieced together for the first time with the help of archaeologists. Pendle Forest History Group is teaming up with staff from Lancashire-based Oxford Archaeology North, who will be providing training in research and field surveying techniques. But the archaeologists are leaving the excavating tools at home, as the team are aiming to uncover secrets without digging a single hole. They're going to be using old records and maps and aerial photographs to identify historic sites around the villages of Barley, Newchurch and Roughly, and are calling for help from people who have ever found anything unusual in the area. Work has already started on the legendary hill itself, where it's believed people had lived since the Stone Age, as part of the Landscape Stories project. Only a limited amount of physical investigation has been carried out in this area, and the information collected by the group will be a valuable addition to Lancashire's historic environment record, the definitive record of all historic monuments in the area. Joan Parsons, chairman of the Pendle Forest History Group, said that the area was actually littered with possible finds, with flint arrowheads, stone axe heads and bronze barbs for spears having been found there in the past and recorded in small local brochures. But of course none of this has been disseminated further afield. English Heritage themselves have maps of interest, but it is quite bare in this particular area, something that the group hope to remedy. The work is part of a wider project being coordinated by Pendle Area of Outstanding Natural Beauty team. Well, I look forward to getting back and finding out actually what they do find. Lovely area that. And I have to say I do know a few people at Oxford North, so wish them all the best on this project too. This is really what archaeology is all about. Piecing together art and history, pupils from Isgol Caerdruin, Corwin in North East Wales took part in a mosaic project with artist Patricia Jones, aiming at promoting the Iron Age hill fort of Caerdruin, which sits above the town. Since the beginning of the year, Caerdruin pupils from years 5 and 6 have been hard at work with Patricia of Classical Mosaic and the Heather in Hillfort project to create a large mosaic which will be displayed outside Corwin Leisure Centre. The aim was to incorporate imagery of the hill fort and its historical Celtic associations, as well as flora and fauna of the area and references to distinctive buildings from the town of Corwin. Materials used include mosaic, vitreous glass, ceramic, recycled china and porcelain, glass beads and even granite pebbles within a frame of wind-blown seasoned locally sourced oak. Erin Robinson, Heather and Hillfort's interpretation officer, said that Caerdruin Hillfort is managed by Denbighshire County Council's Countryside Service and has enjoyed and been visited by many people. And they also hope that this beautiful mosaic at the start of the trail to the fort will encourage even more people to enjoy the special place for years to come. The three-year Heather and Hillforts project is developing a £2.3 million initiative for upland conservation work and has received a grant of nearly £1.5 million from the Heritage Lottery Fund. If you want to learn more about it, then visit heatherandhillforts.co.uk. That was all one word, heatherandhillforts.co.uk. Andrew Hemmings walked on a Florida beach that man hasn't set foot on in more than 13,000 years. It's not because it isn't a popular stretch of coast, it's just that few people are able to don the full scuba diving gear and dive 40 feet under the water into the Gulf of Mexico to actually stroll along this stretch of sand. The University of Texas archaeologist is part of an elite team of scientists led by James Adovasio of Mercyhurst College. Adovasio is looking for evidence of the earliest North American settlements along the coast of Florida that were submerged thousands of years ago by glacial ice melting. Adovasio has built his career on overturning theories about the first North American settlers. 3 decades ago, he uncovered campsites in Washington County that were up to 16,000 years old. 5 millennia earlier than archaeologists suspected, people were in the eastern USA. If you can find settlements off the coast of Florida, a few thousand years older, Adovasio could then build a strong case that the first Americans ventured inland from the coastal southern states, rather than directly down through Alaska from the Bering Land Bridge connecting North America and Russia. The tantalizing potential for such a discovery has attracted the attention of the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, which is paying $120,000 to support this year's expedition. We will be keeping you informed about what exactly is their finding. Traces of a Neolithic site near Ballygolly in County Tyrone, Northern Ireland, has been discovered by archaeologists working on the site of the A4 dual carriageway. The 3-year-long excavation project, which was carried out by Headland Group, a Scottish-based firm, is one of the largest in Northern Ireland to date. They've uncovered a nearly 5,000-year-old circular site which contains graves, evidence of timber buildings and burnt pits that bear a strong resemblance to the Giant's Ring near Belfast. At a nearby excavation, the archaeologists were also surprised to find a 6,000-year-old pit with small quantities of human bone and pottery flakes. A single cremation burial pit with an inverted urn dated between 1900 and 1700 BCE was also discovered. In total, there were 65 sites, or areas of archaeological potential, along the route of the A4, including numerous burnt mounds, which are like prehistoric cooking sites, two ring forts, a prehistoric settlement, Bronze Age ritual timber alignment, and three very large ring ditch enclosures, which are more probably burial mounds. Also found a mill lade. The Edinburgh-based firm of archaeologists said that it had ensured that the A4 roadworks proceeded without damaging historical sites and artefacts, and were there when unexpected discoveries were found, to be recorded and excavated. The team are currently working on the final publication of their findings, which should be submitted to the Road Service in spring 2010. And if I may add on a personal note here, given the current carnage in archaeology in Ireland and the UK, I'm damn glad to see work continuing, discoveries being made, and as I say, I have to say, amazing ones at that. Good luck out there. Archaeologists have uncovered the ancient remains of a young man in northern Vietnam who could be the oldest known paraplegic in the world. The discovery has astounded researchers, showing the long-term survival of a man with a severe disability in a community where almost 50% of people died before they had turned the age of five. The remains, which are between 3,500 to 4,000 years old, reveal the man was about 25 and was born with a rare disorder called Klippel-Feil syndrome. Lead researcher and Australian National University bioarchaeologist Mark Oxenham said that the man would have needed a dedicated carer, or even a number of carers, to ensure his survival during a time when life was extremely hard. Dr. Oxenham remarked that it had been the most astounding thing to imagine. As with many children dying early, you would think there was not a great deal of sympathy around. But obviously, there was. However, it made him wonder if it was totally altruistic, or whether there was something else about the person who may have had a particular ability that the community needed. A new centre focusing on the brochs of the far north of Scotland opened at the weekend. Caithness Archaeological Trust has spearheaded the transformation of the former Northlands Viking Centre in the Highlands of Scotland, its latest initiative to showcase the ancient treasures of the area and to help secure visitor spin-offs similar to those enjoyed across the water in Orkney. The focus is firmly on brochs, mysterious Iron Age stone towers whose exact purpose has still to be established conclusively. Caithness and the area around Sinclair Bay in particular has one of the largest concentrations of brochs in Scotland. One of the goals for this centre is to attract more visitors to see them. The centre has sections on the people who built and lived beside the brochs more than 2,000 years ago and the 19th century archaeologists who first excavated the structures. The revamp has been led by the Trust, which has arranged to display a large collection from the National Museums of Scotland at the centre. The 150 items include gaming pieces, painted pebbles, spindle whorls, stone balls, rings, combs, and even Roman pottery. Bill Fernie, chairman of the Council's Education, Culture and Sport Committee, said that he was actually excited to be able to at last let more people know about brochs and the history of Caithness. And actually, while talking about that area, I just let people know it's an exciting opportunity to get involved at Orkney College, at the archaeology that's taking place there. Archaeology at Orkney College, UHI, is based in a friendly and incredibly vibrant department that's surrounded by some of Britain's most important archaeological monuments and landscapes. This is, of course, including the heart of Neolithic Orkney World Heritage Site. You can actually get a chance to work and study in this area. They're actually getting a growing international reputation for the quality of their teaching. So if you're actually interested in taking one of the courses there, and I'm afraid, heartily recommend it, then just pop in the words Archaeology Orkney College into Google, and that will take you to the department homepage, and just have a browse at what they have on offer there. Great opportunity. And once again, back to the news. A fishing boat trawling for mussels off the Dutch coast has instead landed a 40,000-year-old human skull fragment. Anthropologists from the University of Leipzig in eastern Germany confirmed that the skull fragment was at least 40,000 years old, and therefore the oldest ever found underwater, according to this August's edition of Geo magazine. The fisherman also found the toolkit that went with him, consisting of a hand axe and flints. When he lived there, of course, Europe and Britain were one great landmass. Archaeologists in Switzerland have excavated the ruins of the oldest hut in the Alps, a prehistoric discovery that dates back nearly 3,000 years. The find in the Silvretta Mountains near the Austrian border gives scientists the oldest architectural proof that early Iron Age shepherds spent summers living amongst the rich alpine grasses, tending to herds and using milk to make cheese, much like actually farmers do today. Carbon dating shows that the hut at 2,264 metres was being used as early as 800 BCE, when pile dwellings dotted the Switzerland's lowland lakes and people were of the pre-Celtic tribes. Not much remains of the hut today, but Thomas Reitmeier, an archaeologist from Zurich University, and a team of archaeology students have spent the past 3 years meticulously excavating its foundation, a dry stacked stone structure that held wooden walls and a roof. The hut could hold about 4 to 6 people. The oldest proof of a natural shelter up here until now was medieval. Now they have a site that goes back much, much further. The discovery is one of more than a dozen finds that Reitmeier and his team stumbled across during a project to find signs of ancient settlements in the Alps. Reitmeier said that we'd know of sites and structures from this time period all around the Alps, but nothing up in them. Archaeologists have already documented numerous prehistoric settlements in the valleys below, which is more fit for habitation than other nearby valleys. It would make sense, however, that those ancient dwellers would have pushed up into the high alpine regions in summer. Sounds idyllic. I wouldn't mind actually wandering about the alpine mountains in the summer myself. Genetic evidence is revealing that human populations began to expand in size in Africa during the late Stone Age, approximately 40,000 years ago. A research team led by Michael F. Hammer of the Arizona Research Laboratory's Division of Biotechnology at the University of Arizona found that sub-Saharan populations increased in size well before the development of agriculture. This research supports the hypothesis that population growth plays a significant role in the evolution of human cultures in the late Pleistocene. There's been a long-standing disagreement whether humans began to increase in number as a result of innovative changes and technologies, as well as behaviours formulated by hunter-gatherer groups, or with the advent of agriculture in the Neolithic. Hammer's team surveyed the genetic material of 184 individuals from 7 human populations and used a computational approach to simulate the evolution of the genetic lineages over time. The researchers found that both hunter-gatherers and food-producing groups fit best into models with approximately tenfold population growth beginning well before the origin of agriculture. The teams finely executed experimental design and use of supercomputing power enabled them to determine that this expansion in population size likely began at the start of the late Stone Age, a period in prehistory that shows an intensification of archaeological sites, an increased abundance of bladed-based lithic technologies, and enhanced long-distance exchange. The next step in the project is to gather more data by testing more populations and additional parts of the genome. The findings of a major 3-year-long archaeological project examining Iron Age hill forts were put on display at Danesfield Hotel in Marlow, Buckinghamshire, England. An information panel detailing the finds of the Danesfield site was unveiled by senior archaeologist Sandy Kidd and Buckinghamshire County Councillor Bob Woolard. It followed the unveiling of the first panel at the Medmingham Iron Age Fort, which was put on display a week earlier. A group of time detectives researched and surveyed a number of sites around Marlow up to 3,000 years old. There are hill forts scattered all over Britain, which were first built in the late Bronze Age around 1000 BCE. They are thought to have been used to protect settlements and cattle, store grain, and may even have been a high-status home for tribal chiefs and their families. The Danesfield site was taken over by the RAF from 1941 until 1977. For more information or to join the digs currently going on in the fabulously named Happy Valley, contact John Laker by email on John Laker, that was all one word, J-O-H-N-L-A-K-E-R, I'll try that again, J-O-H-N-L-A-K-E-R at themesinternet.com. A strangely shaped rock that 8-year-old Heather Flaherty picked up in her backyard in Crownsville, Maryland, USA, turned out to be an ancient axe. Heather found the stone implement on July the 8th near the chicken coops behind her family's home. "I was just looking and a-walking," she said. "I just looked and there it was." County archaeologist Al Luckenbach of Annapolis described it as a fully grooved axe head from the late Archaic or early woodland period. Al offered simple advice to her for caring for the find. "All you have to do is wash it with a little soap and water and don't drop it." And of course, if she felt philanthropic, Al said that her discovery would be welcome at the Archaeology Society's lab at London Town in Edgewater. "Well, I suspect at 8 years old, as soon as she understands what the word philanthropic means, she will be that." Every object unearthed by an archaeological dig must have its exact position recorded. This is normally a painstaking process involving measuring rods, tapes and string. But a device that uses technology originally developed to guide robots could speed up the process. Grandolina in central Spain is a Paleolithic site that contains important hominin remains from dating between 780,000 and 300,000 years ago. Thousands of fossils and finds are discovered there every year, but registering them all by hand makes the progress frustratingly slow. So, archaeologists working on the site contacted the Institute of Industrial Automation in Madrid to see if they could come up with a better way. They were actually working on an ultrasound system to help blind people and robots navigate, in which a mobile transmitter sends signals to a network of fixed nodes. The time taken for a signal to arrive at each node determines the precise location of the transmitter. To adapt the system for archaeological sites, they developed a 2-meter-long pointer, like a huge pencil, to act as a transmitter. To prevent the user's body blocking the signals, it has 2 transmitters, one at the top and one 70 centimeters below it. When a researcher finds an object, they trace its outline with the pointer, transmitting ultrasound data to a network of nodes above the site. Software then reconstructs not only the position of the object, but also its size, shape and orientation, to an accuracy of around 5 millimeters. John McNabb at the Centre of Archaeology of Human Origins in Southampton says that the technology still needs to be tested in a range of situations, but agrees that it could speed up archaeology. He's particularly impressed by the ability to record the orientation of objects in the ground, which can allow researchers to determine quickly whether the layers of sediments containing the objects have been disturbed over time. Though I must confess I'm a little bit worried myself, because I was a field draftsman, so this could be putting me out of a job. Last April, Trans-Canada Keystone Pipeline archaeologists discovered a small village 10 feet beneath the surface near Hartington in Nebraska, USA. During archaeological surveys last autumn, archaeologists found evidence that something was down there. As construction began this spring on the Keystone oil pipeline, which is running through northeastern Nebraska, workers found a small piece of pottery and some arrowheads. After consulting with state and federal agencies, TransCanada workers spent the next 2 weeks excavating the site. In addition to the artifacts, they found about 30 pits, 3 to 4 feet in diameter. These are called burn holes, used for cooking. It's estimated that the settlement was between 1,200 and 2,000 years old. Once satisfied that the site had been excavated and all artifacts removed, workers covered it back up again. After consulting with the proper state and federal authorities, TransCanada Keystone Project representative Jeff Rowe said that the company decided that the pipeline route would not be altered and it would run over the site, which again is deep beneath the surface. No human remains were found at the site as well. All artifacts were sent to the University of Nebraska-Lincoln to be analysed and documented. Well, talking about analysing documentation, we are just putting the last touches to issue 10 of the Past Horizons magazine. So if you haven't actually seen any of the past 9, I suggest you get yourself along to www.pasthorizons.com/magazine. And if you're feeling in a generous mood, why not tell some of your friends about this as well? It's well worth a read. And of course, it's free. Can I also remind people about many new archaeological and heritage employment opportunities, as well as heritage calendars, libraries of information, and a brand new guide about how to get started in archaeology. You'll find that in the document section of, yes, you guessed it, Badger, www.bajr.org. And coming up on the 23rd of August, it's Badger's 10th anniversary. Can you believe it? And I have something rather special to announce on that date. And remember, of course, that more can be found on Stone Pages, the fabulous Stone Pages, news.stonepages.com. Thank you very much for listening to Archaeology News Weekly on my brand new microphone, and we hope you'll return again to us next week.